Welcome to the River of Life Church podcast, your home for weekly messages that will equip you in your spiritual growth. Thank you from everyone here at ROLC and enjoy the sermon.
You know what I've realized? You know, I'm never too old to learn something new. But the thing I've realized is when you know who He is, speaking of our Lord, He'll show you who you are. Sometimes we're bombarded by many voices that seek to influence the values and life choices we embrace. Everybody and everything is always banging on the door of what we call time. We need more time for this, time for that. And then what the enemy does with all of this, trying to make us feel, I just can't do it, it's too much. The one thing he'll attack then is begin to compromise a little here, not in the aspect of what we would define as sin, but more in the aspect of what we would define as priority. Any of you who have done military service, you'll find that some of the greatest disciplines that a soldier, male or female, that they learn, beginning at boot camp and throughout their career of service, are the basics. That's why they call it basic training. So that you're doing the same thing over and over and over again may even seem to become monotonous. But you do it because that's what they've trained you to do. They've told you one day you're going to need this. And the reason it's over and over is because when the day of battle comes, not if, but when it happens, when you're in the heat of the moment, a crisis hits, whatever it might be, a challenge, something well beyond your resources and pay grade, that's when what you have learned by doing over and over again, the discipline of commitment, all of a sudden, at that moment, it comes to life. And it works and assists as your deliverance, as your strength. You'll find areas that the enemy will use at times to steal from us, network news. Man, that can rob your faith real quick, can't it? Everything we see happening. Social media promotes an entirely different narrative to what we as believers in Jesus Christ embrace. Now, there are good aspects to social media. Don't get me wrong. I use social media for the propagation of the ministry and the message of Jesus through our church and many other ways. I interact with people at times, just bringing Jesus, connecting. But it can also get out of hand. We've seen that especially with children. What about mass advertising? You're on a diet, you're driving down the road, then all of a sudden you see an advertisement for Krispy Kreme on a billboard. That'll make you want to eat. And you can't just eat one. Lay's potato chip doesn't have as much gravitational pull as a Krispy Kreme, honey glazed donut. Now, obviously, I say this in jesting, but it's true. You know, it can hurt you with your goals, your future. Then there's another billboard that shows risque women. Someone who has struggled with sexual addiction sees that. Satan tries to use that to prime the pump, to set something in motion. You know, beyond that, we also see the entertainment industry, television programming, that's propagating an entirely different, you know, value system than what the Christian value system is. And we can't hide in the world we live in. I get that. But we need to be aware that what we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we touch, all of those things that surround us, they are in other voices banging on our door, trying to get us to change what God has set as our discipline. And when we do that, it can affect not only short-term decisions, but even long-term. See, when you're easing up, that's a good word. When you're easing up, the devil will leave you alone. Only for a season. And when he sees that you've eased up long enough, that's when the storm evolves and erupts. We need to be instant in season and out of season. The world's measuring stick for right and wrong. It's astounding how it's always changing. You know, they're even trying to dictate to science what is truth. Amen. Science doesn't have the final word. God is the final word. Amen.
Amen.
But since when have personal ideologies become the measuring stick for what is truth? God is calling us as believers. We need to be firm. We need to be steadfast. The world, yes, it's changing at times, but that doesn't mean we have to change. In fact, if we change, who will be the light the world can look at when they hit rock bottom? When they come to that place where they're destroyed by all of the lies and the belief systems, all of the empty promises. That's why election years just frustrate me. Because you hear, and I've lived 68 years almost now, and you hear all of the promises, and then you don't see hardly any of the promises fulfilled. Some presidents have done good jobs. But the majority, you just see the reneging. I'm so thankful God keeps all His promises. I'm so thankful Scripture says His promises are yea and amen. Everybody say yes and amen.
Yes, amen.
That's something you can count on.
Amen.
Without God's word, He's not God. Do you know you've heard people possibly state, God esteems His name higher than anything else? Do you know biblically that's not true? Scripture says He esteems His word even above His name. His name has no power, has no authority, has no credence, no credibility. If His word is not respected, if He's broken His word, He's like any other man. But He has kept every promise.
Amen.
And that's what we need to lock into when we are living the life of faith. See, I found when you encounter the God of all faith, you know what the outcome of that will be? You will become immovable. Immovable. And when you encounter this, you'll demonstrate stability even when everything around you seems so unstable. That's important. Because life never goes according to plan. But thank God we have a relationship, if we know and love the Lord, who is in the future. He's in the past, the present, and the future. Who has already prepared our breakthrough, our provision, the wisdom, the insight, whatever we need. He has already prepared what we need because He's already in the future, and He comes back into the present and He says, trust me, follow me. I will direct your steps. I told you for those of you who have sat under my preaching for some time, when God called me to be a minister, I remember I pulled a verse out of A Little Bread of Life. Many people would give them as gifts back in the 70s and 80s. I don't know if they're still in existence. If it's anywhere, it's on Amazon. Amazon has everything. don't they? My goodness, Amazon has saved my life with gifts at times. You know, and sometimes you go into the stores and you're ready to purchase something and they don't have it. Well, we can order it for you. Well, if I had known that, I would have ordered it myself. Right in the store, I go on Amazon, there it is, you'll have it the next day. You know, so these little bread of lives, you just pull scripture on one side, it would have a scripture verse, and on the other side, it would just have like a proverb or a commentary, just a reflection. And so I pulled this out and I said, Lord, I'll preach, but I have to know you'll be with me. I was scared to be a preacher. I was. And when I pulled it out, it was Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. You know what God said to me? He said, thou shalt remember all the way. He was speaking to Moses at that time in Deuteronomy, but then he was speaking to me. Amen. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord, your God, has led you. Life isn't fair. At times it's very unstable. But when the one who is in the future knows the future and has prepared for us how to navigate through our current situations, that's where trust comes in. That is such a blessing. That's why you can't believe every emotion you feel. Oh, they're real as far as the impact they carry, but it doesn't mean they're truth. The devil operates off fear. But when we encounter the God of all faith, that's when we'll see ourselves and it just manifesting that immovability, stability. I love what King David says in Psalms chapter 62, verse 2. And that's going to be the emphasis we're just going to look at briefly. He says this, the Lord only. Everybody say the Lord only.
The Lord only.
Oh, that was a little lame. Let's say it one more time. The Lord only.
The Lord only.
There you go. Everybody online said amen. The Lord only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. This is profound. I will not be greatly moved. Do you see that? In our text, King David lists three benefits God provides for those that acknowledge him. How many of you acknowledge the Lord today? How many of you all who are watching the broadcast acknowledge the Lord today? Then there's three benefits in this scripture. There's many more all throughout scripture, but there's three here we're going to emphasize and look at. And he begins in this text, Psalm 62, by saying, the Lord only is my rock. Circle that in your Bibles. I'm a preacher and a teacher.
Amen.
Do you know what consistency does? Consistency, as I said, even with the military, learning certain disciplines so when crisis situations arise, you never know when it's going to hit. But when they do, you're ready. Why? Because consistency promotes stability. You got to be consistent. Doubt and unbelief will make us like a piece of chaff in the desert being tossed by the wind. Wherever the wind blows, that's where it goes. And doubt and unbelief is like a spiritual wind that will take us far away from what God desires for our life. Think of it this way when you think of stability. People lose weight when they're consistent with diet and exercise. See, there's practicality involved with consistency. People get out of debt when they're consistent with a budget. Got to live on a budget. You just can't keep bleeding out everything you have and say, Lord, help me. The Lord says, well, I'll help you. I'm going to send an accountant into your life to help you learn a budget or place someone with business skills in your life. So let's break down, see what you have and how to get the most out of what you've been given. Those faithful with little, people miss this. When you're faithful with little, people always say, Lord, give me more, give me more. Why? So you can waste that too? And that's with anything. But when we're faithful with little, it opens the door for God to bring increase and trust us with more. Amen? Those faithful with little will be faithful with much. People excel on the job when they display a consistent work ethic. Anybody can, you know, go to work and be on a job, but it's the employee, male or female, that displays consistency. They're on time. They give their best. They're not trying to milk the system. They're not downing the company. But the character that Jesus says we can display because of His Holy Spirit living within us, we display it. And then when that kind of consistency is seen, that work ethic, promotion, God will cause you to stand out. Think about it. Joseph, when he was sold into slavery by his brothers, he was a slave in Egypt for 13 years. Now, he didn't grumble. I'm sure he was hit just like all of us. But he just believed God was in control of his future too. And he didn't know he was Joseph. We all know he's Joseph. Now, he knew his name. He knew his father, his heritage, his ancestral, you know, lineage. But he didn't know that he was going to be the prince of Egypt. He had just come to the place, this must be as good as it gets. But he chose to honor God in the midst of it. And look at how God provided for him. He was in charge of prisoners. You know, all of the sewage system of Egypt would flow through those dungeons. It was a decrepit place. But he did his job to the best of his ability. He stood out to Potiphar. When a baker and a cupbearer came in, had dreams, because he had maintained his faithfulness with God, he could hear from God. That's why when the baker shared his dream, you know, Joseph wasn't going to compromise his commitment with God. He goes, well, here's what it means. He said, you're gonna die in 3 days. Your head's going to be cut off. And the baker slaps him. He goes, I'll have you put to death when I get out of here. But Joseph didn't allow it to move him. The cupbearer, he said, you're going to be restored to favor with the king. And he was. Then they forgot all about him. But Joseph still continued to give his best. He was consistent during unstable times. And that's what opened the door for promotion. You see, God already knows what we're going to choose or not going to choose. But do you know why God allows those times? It's not a game. You know, in life, when we're serving Him, following Him, and loving Him, the most important thing when it comes to our hearts is for us to see what we're made of. And God will reveal our hearts at times good, at times area where it needs to be corrected, because He loves us. He already knows, but He reveals the heart so we can become more like Him and become stable in unstable times. Look at Psalm 62, verse 2 again. David says, He only is my rock and my salvation. Now, that word only, circle that. You know what that tells us? It tells us there are no substitutes when it comes to the things of God. If you're trying to have some other rock be your strength, then listen to me. It's going to crumble. As strong as it may be, the history may be good. And God does bring resources into our lives at times, but it doesn't mean the next time something arises of a crisis nature that that's going to be our same rock that we rest upon. That's why we need to trust in the one who made the rock. Not the rock. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There are no substitutes when it comes to the rock of faith. If we expect to be immovable, then we can't be double-minded. Oh, I know the devil is relentless, and he will hit, especially when there is a present threat, and you're bombarded in your minds, and he's relentless. It just won't stop, and I'm being very animated with this right now because I've gone through it.
Amen.
And I know until the day I die, there'll be seasons when the enemy will do it again. And that's when I say, the Lord alone only is my rock.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus talks about this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 24. Let's look at it together. He says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. How do you recognize a master in your life? How do I recognize a master in my life? By my priorities. Our priorities reveal our masters. And then our masters reveal our motivation. And then our motivation, you know what that reveals? Our loyalties. When you look in Scripture at the parable of the two builders, one built on sand, the other built on rock. When the day of trouble came, both houses were existing in the same timeline. Both houses were constructed exactly the same, except for their foundation. Amen. One built on sand, one built on rock. And at the end of the storm, when the adversity hit, the wind, the rain, the rising waters, only one remained standing while the other fell. Why? Because the Lord was not the rock of that man's life. The Lord only is my rock. Isn't that what David said? If you expect to be immovable, then there can only be one master and one foundation. That's a fact. The world builds on many foundations. And for a season, it looks good. But eventually, there is something when we leave God out of the equation. There is something that can cause trouble and adversity. Amen. David says again, he only is my rock and our next point. Write it down. Salvation. When Jesus is your foundation, his salvation will flow into every area of your life. Now, salvation has become a word that I think we've become too accustomed to. Because salvation, in the Hebrew, the word that David uses right here, do you know what the word is? The Hebrew word used here. Yeshua. The name for Joshua, the Hebrew name for Jesus, Yeshua. It's defined, if you go into the Hebrew and look for its application and definition, obviously as salvation, but also as deliverance, welfare, prosperity, health, and victory. So when David says, the Lord only is my rock and my salvation, the Lord only is my rock and my deliverance, my rock and my welfare, my rock and my prosperity, my rock and my health, my rock and my deliverance. In other words, he only is our salvation. We will experience his deliverance, welfare, prosperity, health, and victory in our lives and circumstances when we come to that resolve. Lord, some trust in chariots, but I trust in you. Doesn't mean God doesn't use other things in our lives. Thank the Lord he does. Thank the Lord for medical technology. Thank the Lord for people who are filled with wisdom when we need direction that can counsel us. Scripture says wisdom is found in the multitude of counselors. That doesn't mean you go to 30 people, you know, who have no qualification and seek counsel from them. But if it's a legal matter, you speak to someone qualified in legalities. If it's a health matter, you speak to someone who is qualified in the medical field. If it's a spiritual matter, you go to someone who's qualified to speak regarding spiritual circumstances. You see, when we seek the right voice, the right counsel from those who are qualified, God will use them to confirm to us. How many think that's good counsel?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's some scriptures that support this. 1 John 1:9. What does the apostle say? He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's our salvation. So if there's an area that needs intervention, if we confess, whether it's sin, whatever the need is well beyond, he's faithful, he's just, he'll forgive, he'll cleanse, he'll heal, he'll intervene if we'll place our trust in him. And he only becomes our rock and our salvation. Isaiah 43 verse 2, what does that say? When you pass through the waters, now that means a situation that's not advantageous. That means there's a flood of adversity coming against you. Isaiah says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, and if you're walking through fire right now, those of you watching this broadcast, maybe you're in a fire situation. The Spirit of God through Isaiah says, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. That's the salvation of God. The Lord only is my rock. The Lord only is my salvation. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you authority. He's speaking to Christians, his followers. That means it's applicable for us. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, everybody say nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's a good scripture to stand on. But in times of calamity, in moments of crisis, if we have not established the consistency, when the crisis hits, it's like a cry of despair erupts, confusion, peace is stolen from our lives. Establish now. You don't build in the midst of the storm. You build before the storm.
Amen.
Can you imagine we had a lot of rain in April, didn't we?
Yeah.
If you had a leaky roof, when all those rains were happening in April, you wouldn't go up on that roof, or you wouldn't hire, you know, a roofing company to come up and put a brand new roof on when rain is consistently coming. They may tarp an area where there's an issue, but you don't take and repair or repair, you know, something in the midst of the storm. You wait until it passes, or even better yet, like I said, you do it prior. And that's how we prepare for the day of trouble. It will come. And when we have prepared, my goodness, not only will we see his faithfulness in our lives, we'll see his faithfulness in the lives of our children's children, our children's 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 children. I could go on and on, but then I would get tongue-twisted. How many want that in your families, in your lives? You're saying, well, that's true, Pastor. I'm not seeing that now. That might be true. But not now, is it not never? And that's what you got to always counter the devil's challenge. It's what Jesus did in the wilderness. Every time Jesus responded with the Word of God, then the second time, He responded with Scripture back. He tried to twist truth. Always be ready to speak the word. Praise God. David says, the Lord is my only rock, my only salvation. And when that happens, this is when he becomes your defense. And if you ever need someone to defend for you, there's no better choice than Almighty God. Amen?
Amen?
In sports, there's a common phrase. I love sports. And it's a common phrase that's used when it comes to the philosophy of winning the game. And that common phrase is this: a good defense is a good offense. Now, there needs to be a good offense, but without a good defense, you're not going to win the game. Look at the word defense in our text. David says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I will not be greatly moved. So that word defense in the Hebrew that's used there is defined. He only is my refuge, my high tower, my place, my stronghold. In other words, think of it this way. When it comes to defense or refuge, it's a place of safety beyond the enemy's reach. You know, with certain weapons that are used in military warfare, certain weapons that are used on the ground, such as cannons, have a certain length. Even missiles have a certain reach. And many times, part of the strategy will be to place the troops or those guns that you're using out of the reach of the enemy's firepower. So that they fall up short. And David talks about in Psalm 91 being under the shadow of the Almighty in the high places where the arrows of the enemy, the fiery darts of the wicked one that the Apostle Paul references in Ephesians, they'll shoot, but then they'll fall without any effect. When we allow the Lord to be our only rock, our only salvation, He'll be our defense. And we'll find ourselves in that place of safety. Oh, you're still in the battle. Just because God promises all of this, you know, we're still in a battle. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. Why is it people think that when I get saved, I won't have any more issues? You know, then they get angry when something happens. Their faith is shaken. I've got to tell you, I've had times in my life when my faith has been shaken. I'm human, just like you. But when that happens, do you know what I do? I say, Lord, I know you're not the problem. I'm the problem. So, Lord, show me why this bothers me. Show me why this has shaken me so I can correct that weakness. See, God, at times when warfare hits, He's still there even when we're not all we should be. But He will also teach us so that we'll be fortified and strengthened for the next battle. He wants to be our place of refuge. Then He goes on, and you see in Scripture, when Jesus is your rock, your salvation, and your defense, you will not be, what? Moved. But not only moved, because when you look at that in our text, in fact, turn there with me. 62 verse 2. That word there you see is not, you will not be moved. It says, I will not be greatly moved. How many felt the earthquake that hit a couple months back? Now, you were moved, but not greatly moved. I was in my office, and he was in hers. We heard the freight. It was like a freight train. I felt like, you know, back from growing up as a boy in the 70s, some of you will remember this. I came from three brothers, and we loved all kinds of sports, and we had that NFL football game where you would set the people on a vibrating field, and then when you had everything set up, my brother would be on the one side, I'd be on the other. Then, all right, hit the button. And you had no idea where they were going to go, you know, it was all random. And the vibration was moving the men. So there are times in life when we live and all of a sudden the devil sends like a spiritual tremor, or maybe it's bigger than that. And you may feel moved, but when he is your rock only, when he is your only salvation and your defense, you may be moved, but you won't be greatly moved. When it's all said and done, you'll be like one of the Marvel heroes. You ever see when they do these landings as they come from the air to the ground? And I'm not going to get down on one knee because I might not get back up. But they're down on that one knee like this, right? And then when the smoke from when they hit the dirt dissipates, they're still there. That's you. When you've done everything you know to stand. Stand. When the dust settles, when it's all said and done, for that moment, you'll still be standing. You may have been moved, but you weren't greatly moved. That's my God. That's your God. Yes, we do all face overwhelming obstacles. But when we allow the Lord to grow and expand in us, because that's where His precious Holy Spirit lives, in us, then when we face these obstacles, it's not us facing them, but Christ in us facing them. Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's why we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because it's no longer us doing it, but it's Him doing it in and through us. Amen.
Amen.
With God, all things are possible. You believe that?
Yes.
Sometimes you got to say it even when you don't believe it. You know what is a common lie the devil uses to keep people from still professing that? I don't believe that. And if I say it, I'm a hypocrite. The devil says, all right, it's working. What you say eventually is what you believe. When you got saved, you know where it began? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. It started here and made the journey here. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. When you say it in the face of every emotion that shouts out against it, every time you speak faith, it begins to permeate you. God responds to faith. He's a faith God. Remember, when your faith encounters the God of all faith, didn't I say that earlier? You will become like Him. Immovable. How many are ready to be immovable?
Amen.
You may be shaken, but you won't be greatly shaken. I love Romans 10:17. This is where Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So if we want to be immovable, immovability is fed by faith. So what does that tell us? Feed your faith. Speak your faith. Release your faith. Like Peter, step out of the boat into the water and see if you sink or you walk. The more we release our faith in agreement with the God of all faith, that is when we'll begin to encounter the benefits of faith. Praise the Lord. Confess to God your commitment to His Word. And that's what I want these altars to be about today. I want to open them up. And I just want people to come and just say, Lord, I commit to your Word. And some of you may say, oh, I've already done that. Well, you've done it, but this is something we do breath by breath. Say, Lord, I confess, I commit to your Word. I believe you. Like the man who had the epileptic son who needed healing. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Confess your confidence and your faith and commitment to God's word. Tell him. Say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to feed, speak, and release faith into my life and into my circumstances. Just say it. This is probably something you haven't done at your homes. And this is a divine moment because this word, God just quickened my spirit that this word was for this service and the 11. So I want you to come and just reaffirm your commitment to His word and just say, Lord, I'm also affirming that I will speak faith, I will feed faith and release faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. The more you devour his word, the more immovable you will become. Amen? Let's all stand.
Thanks for listening to the River of Life Church podcast. Subscribe and rate us right now on iTunes to be first to get access to new audio messages every week. Visit rolcdoylestown.org or like us on Facebook to always stay up to date on what's going on at ROLC. If you would like to support this ministry, visit the online giving page at our website. Join us next time for more from River of Life Church.